Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Service Business Mastery Podcast. Thanks for the heads up, Tersh, that we're live. We are back. We're a little out of practice. We were just talking about this because Tersh has come back from Mexico. He had a nice, that was your birthday trip, right?
40th birthday and Julie's and mine's, sorry, my alarm's going off. I am so out of practice. Julie and I's 11th anniversary. So,
did you just want all the gifts in 1 week or something? I mean,
No. So, my birthday's on December 11th. And when we got married, I was like, you know, an easy date to remember? 12, 12, 12. So, the day after my birthday, December 12th, 2012.
Have you ever forgotten the anniversary?
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
No.
Good. So, it's that will happen. So, note to any of the guys out there that are forgetful, find a date that is really easy to remember and you'll never have to worry about forgetting that date.
Yep, exactly.
But welcome back. It feels like it's been a little bit since because I think I was out.
Yeah, you were out last time.
So
a week
it's
or
been
two.
A couple, I was like, it's been a couple weeks since we've done one of these. And, so we're really excited to bring Blue on back on. We have not had Blue on since AHR. So they've never done a live stream with us. And we have Logan and Peter from Blue On with us today. We're going to be talking about probably a few different things, but Blue On's really made a name for themselves on the technician side before this year of really condensing, getting all the parts and all the information from all these different manufacturers and things like that in one place. So technicians have a one-stop shop to source and order parts. And now they've been pushing on the contractor side and also made some really nice improvements on and developments on their AI side as well, which we're going to dive into, which I know usually kind of captures everybody's attention when the word AI is thrown out there, but they've done a really nice job and we'll go through that as well today.
It's funny. I was actually using the AI this morning and I was just playing around with it, the Master Mechanic. And because I had to use the search feature to look up a part because we couldn't find a blower motor locally. For a air handler. And so, yeah, it ended up working. I'm sure we'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm ready to get started. Are you?
I think so.
Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hey, welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I feel like Tersh and my goal in life when we start these episodes is how can we fuck with each other the most?
Let's just annoy each other.
Like, let's just figure out how we can throw each other off. But anyways, welcome, guys. It's good to have you. Peter, it's good to have you back on. Logan, I feel like I see you like every other month now. So it's kind of like, well, hey, man, how you been?
Right. How's it been, man?
We're good.
Excited to be on this big time.
So for those who don't know, can you share what's Blue On?
That is a very big question.
That's a loaded question.
I'll give you the super condensed version. So I think Blue On in the current evolution is an ecosystem of software tools and support tools that support the HVAC industry at large, because we work with technicians, we work with with contractors, and we work with distributors, wholesalers, actually also with OEMs. So we're really working with multiple aspects of the B2B chain to ultimately increase efficiency. And at the end of the day, we're all about making techs more efficient so that the rest of the supply chain can benefit, including the tech. So ultimately, if we can make techs 10-15% more efficient, The math on that is mind-blowing, like in terms of how much that delivers to the industry. We know the industry can't support the amount of demand it gets at it typically. And so, with the skilled labor shortage being more acute every day, you know, we're all about lifting up technicians first and foremost, so they can supply more, you know, more work value to the system, and the system benefits from it, and then making the system aware of that benefit, so it compensates it down to the tech. So ultimately, we're about, you know, tech efficiency, but at the end of the day, it's we're selling this business to the contractor and the distributor in order to monetize the business. But ultimately, we're a, you know, tech facing, tech efficiency platform with a whole bunch of tools that we can go into.
One of the things I really love that you've mentioned in the past, whenever we've talked, and some of it might have been talking about the master mechanic, and that's helping to free up your lead mechanic. And Logan and I have talked about this a lot too. And so you're most of the times your most profitable, most efficient technician is that lead technician with the most experience and the best source for tech support within your business, even if you're paying for, you know, if you have tech support through the manufacturers and stuff like that. There's times where it's like the junior techs don't want to reach out to the manufacturer and they don't want to sit on a hold, and being able to free up that lead tech, like now they can actually be more profitable, more. Yeah. And so I'd love to dive into that a little bit. What took you to AI, and what is happening with AI within Blue On?
Yeah, I mean, the AI tool that we've built is, I mean, it surprises the hell out of us, put it that way. I mean, in terms of how good it's become is really, you know, one of those things you, it's like, holy Christmas. So, you know, I'll give you two pieces to it, how we got there and then why it works so well. How we got there is because, you know, we've been providing tech support to our, you know, 170,000 members, you know, going on 4 or 5 years now. And, you know, A, it's extremely expensive, right? To get, you know, have 30 techs on staff that are all 30 year plus experienced guys that are really know their shit is challenging, right? And difficult to keep growing that, which we'll do. But, you know, many times 50, 60, 70, 80% of those questions, you know, don't require super nuance in terms of, you know, getting to the answer or like a back and forth, but even if they do. So we always talked about this internally, and we talked about this backstage. How do you get all this wisdom out of these guys who are just, you know, teeming with wisdom, but they're not the greatest at writing it down. You forget it, right? Not going to happen. And so how do you get it out of them? And so we've been recording, you know, all of our tech support calls over the last, you know, 5 years. So we have about 100,000 plus of them banked. And, you know, pretty much every question you can imagine has been asked at some point or time, whether it's, you know, from a mini split up to a large chiller and everything in between. So we have this foundational knowledge. And then one of the guys on our team, a guy named Adam Curry, is, you know, a partner of mine for, you know, going on a decade. He's just, you know, he's one of those guys that's four steps ahead of everything in the computer world. And so we didn't even know he was doing this. So this is a true story. We had no idea. No knowledge. So what Adam does, and Logan can attest, so Adam works like 22 hours a day or some ridiculous. You know, we say goodbye to him like 7:30, and he works here until like 2 a.m. and gets in around 10. That's kind of his deal. So between 7 and 2, no one knows what he's doing. It's sort of like special project time. So he was working on this thing. We knew he was burning the oil because we could see his car here just all the time. Yeah. And then one day he comes up to me and says, hey, can I show you something? Yeah, sure. Let's check it out. And he shows me the first iteration of AI, Master Mechanic. And at that point in time, by the way, it was just raw. So it was grabbing the actual language from historical calls. So it had like a tech voice. It was political. It had a text, you know, cursed a lot. So the AI like became this very gritty tech that you could even ask it questions that were not technical that they had heard before. So we had to deal with that.
I don't know. I think you guys should have kept that.
I know.
You know what?
Even if you had like an outtake, like something just for fun, like to send to people, like
little it's still alive. So we actually we could turn it on for a day or two and have people talk to it. It's you can even ask it about me because it knows
that would be like Gil's podcast of HVAC Uncensored. Like, okay, so this is going to be the uncensored version of
Right, exactly.
But yeah, so anyways, long story short, Adam was working on this, you know, before anybody even, this is like when AI was barely being mentioned in the universe. It was before like the whole craziness of it last year. And so, yeah, you know, he was working on this for a good 5-6 months, had it in a beta version, showed me what it was at this point in time. I was like, holy mackerel, like that is a game changer. And then from that point on, that was like about 8 or 9 months ago. And he's been refining it and crafting it, but really it's a tool that lets you tap into the wisdom of 30 of the best technicians on the planet and grab an answer out of that in a way that makes sense to you in that moment. And the cool part about it is it remembers what you're talking about. So if you're in a, you can have like a conversation with it. It remembers the last question before. It's really has like a, I think it's called agentic measure, where it goes back and knows what you said before. But ultimately it was about, you know, having a quick way to access this wisdom and this information, this experience that didn't require, you know, a very expensive interaction with a technician, but could provide you with the same data when you needed it based upon exactly what you were looking for, you know, at that moment. And it's getting better and better. More the AI, you know, today versus even a week ago is better. And it's going to be better, you know, 2 weeks from now and every week after that, because the live support calls that we still answer today feed it. So every call goes back into the brain. So as new stuff comes up and the equipment changes, the AI learns every day on what else to answer. And we're dumping more capacity into it, like mathematic capacity, tools, how to do certain calculations, how to know what unit you're on, to have the manual front and center in its brain when you're asking questions. So it's really, you know, I mean, I think it really does solve a big problem, which is, you know, green techs being able to ask a question anonymously, not being, you know, held, you know, going to get in trouble. Yeah. So they can be just, you know, open, ask you whatever the hell you want. No one's tracking it. We're tracking the content, but not who asked it.
Right, right.
So we want to be able to tell the contractor, hey, your guys need training in this, this, and this, but we don't tell them who asked it, right? We want to make that anonymous so techs remain open, right? And
unless you only have one tech, then that guy's screwed.
If you have one tech, it becomes a problem. Yeah, if you got that, definitely is true. Yeah. Well, which also could be you, right? So
the other way. Probably is. Yeah.
It's me. I need help with this.
Yeah, I mean, the training aspect is really where the key's at there. I mean, actually knowing as a technician exactly where you need to be trained at, so all your more senior guys don't have to sit through continuous ongoing training of the same thing they've already learned years ago. That's going to save a tremendous amount of time there.
But yeah, I like the fact that the boss or the leader or the trainer or whoever is going to get this data, and it's not the lead technician who is constantly repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And now we know, okay, this is what we really need to focus on in the training aspect of things. And we don't have to, because as the lead technician, it can be annoying to answer the same questions all the time, but it's also an ego thing. It very much feeds into an ego as me as a business owner. Whenever I was tech support, like, oh, this company can't run without me because I'm the one that has to support all of this, every technical answer, which was horrible for me as a business owner, because all I did was sit on the phone all day long. And you can't do that and be productive as a business owner or a technician. And so I love the aspect of this is going to show us exactly where we need to train the technicians, so that we can all become better as long as they're all using it. And I mean, I think that's going to be kind of a challenge, because there's certain people who are not good at prompt engineering. They're not good at asking the right questions. Do you see a solution to that in the future?
Yes, I think that great question. So first of all, the AI is remarkable at extracting the right question, even if you don't know it, meaning the way to use Master Mechanic is put the damn, you know, audio record button on and just ramble, like just say as much as you know about the problem, like just talk to it like you were talking to your buddy. Yeah. And it will extract all of that, you know, meaning, and then go grab the relevant information. But that's how it works the best. If you try to like be cute with it or specific with it, just ramble into it as much as you can in terms of all the information you have at your hands and what you're seeing, what you're knowing. Even if you don't necessarily know where to go, even that background will be sufficient in most cases. So the AI really knows how to do it. And once we show guys how to use it and be effective with it, then they, you know, then they sort of ease into it and stop being so you know, careful with how to talk to it. Because you don't have to be careful. You can be loose with it. It knows typos. It knows you know, bad grammar, it can get inflection, it knows, you know, all that is absorbed into the AI.
I think that's the thing that most people don't realize when it comes to a good tech support individual, somebody who's really, really good at being a tech support, is they understand the right questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that this AI can draw those questions out without you knowing what questions it is that you need to answer, I think that's amazing.
Right, cause it's like pattern recognition, right? So after 100,000, you know, calls that the AI is based on, you know, everybody's asked it a different way, right? So all of those are understood, and it gets back to the root cause. You know, what a normal human, you can't have 100,000 calls in your brain, right? Relative to, you know, pattern recognition, but the AI can, right? So it can be super effective at it. And what you were saying earlier, Tris, I thought was really important. You know, when it comes to removing that every, you know, that call to that senior tech or to the service manager or to the owner to ask a question, you know, you guys know this, but you know, the time detriment to the business is off the scale. Like when you start doing numbers on it, it's crazy. Like it's two people that are not working and two people are not billing, right? So you're both on the negative side, not on the positive side. And you start to do that, those numbers, and they get crazy fast. So if we can give back, and that's what, you know, what we're doing now with Blue On for Business is all about giving up to 4, 5, 6, 7 hours per week back to each tech, right? That's our mission. Give 6 hours back to the tech every week where they can be billing, doing a couple more jobs, whatever they have to do to make the business better, give that time back and watch the business prosper. But when you're taking two folks offline, particularly the senior guy, whew, that's, I mean, people do it all the time. It's like the normal situation, but it's a brutal to your numbers, your KPIs.
And what people don't realize also is whenever you're finished with that phone conversation or you're finished with that distraction, your brain doesn't just immediately turn back. Right. So like your pop-up notifications, I learned this a long time ago, your pop-up notifications, every time it pops up on the bottom of your computer screen, it takes an average of 7 minutes for you to begin to regain concentration on whatever task you're doing. So
that's if the conversation didn't go off the rails.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We've all had those, like we call about one thing and all of a sudden we're talking about what we're doing for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, humans are humans, right? I mean, we're social creatures, right? We're going to revert to that.
So if you really look at the average of it, I mean, the average issue on a call, that technician will normally touch a handful of people before they actually call a tech support line. So you're really talking about a compounding effect on time when you're pulling that many people into the chat.
Yeah.
That's a ton.
Do you it's guys perceive really significant?
And so yeah, go ahead, John.
I was going to ask because you guys, it looks.
We're just going to ignore Josh. Josh just.
you guys have typing and talking in there, and I don't know if this would come into the realm. I'm assuming sometimes guys need to send pictures of something in, or at least try to get on some sort of like FaceTime type thing with the tech support. Is there obviously the multimodal? Yeah.
Oh, hang on. You have the ability to send pictures in too?
No. So time out. Yeah.
You didn't even let me finish my question.
You do.
I was about to say, what's the weirdest photo y'all have gotten?
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
That is true.
I don't. That's probably just,
Just for clarity though. So, you know, when it comes to support, you know, we have sort of two channels, right? We got the AI for your everyday, all day, give me information, give me confirmation. Then we have our live tech support, which we've had forever. So our live tech support now has low latency video conferencing, which is really cool because it works in an attic, in a basement, even though it's even one bar, you can video conference, super cool technology that you do that. And you can send in pictures, you can do, you know, so we have that service available if you need it. Like if you really need to go, you know, into that type of specifics and nuance, that's available. But for the everyday, let me just bang this thing out. You know, the AI gets the job done. But there is, you know, a future where we can send pictures to the AI and it will be able to assess it. That's not that far away. It's not baked in the cake currently, but it's something that we're looking at because, you know, that the AI, open AI sourcing that lets you do sort of picture assessment is growing quickly. So there's a future there that's not too far away.
It's really pretty good. I put some stuff in there on ChatGPT 4.0 and it's wild what it can pick up from a picture.
Right,
and tell you.
Yeah,
I put a picture of like Julie and I in there to create a social media post because that's just what I do because I'm lazy, and it instantly is giving me the species of all the trees in the background in Mexico and this random animal that was in the background that I didn't even know the damn thing That's was back cool. there. And it was like, this is a something else species. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't even know that thing was back there.
That is awesome. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe too back much info.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to the video side for Pete, what he was talking about for our tech support side, I mean, the veteran set of eyes being able to actually see what's going on inside that job, that really helps for them to be able to communicate better with that technician, but also be able to see exactly what's going on. Because a lot of times, depending on the level of technician, they may be explaining the issue wrong or not telling the full story of what's actually going on there. So us being able to see it, it changes everything.
You know, you make an amazing point there, because just yesterday I was talking with someone about a situation with a condition unit, and everything that they said, it should be working perfect. Like there should be no problems. But I was like, something's just not clicking with what I'm asking. Send me pictures. Like send me a picture of the wiring, send me a picture, like back up, send me a picture of all the wiring and the whole outdoor unit, the capacitor, contactor and everything. And when they did that, I received one photo that showed the outdoor, coil or the fan motor wiring was ran all like real wild and through sharp metal objects. And I could see like this little discoloration on that metal. I said, there you go. There's your short right there. I was like, but the wiring was run in the wrong spot, like just 4 inches away from where it should have been put. And I was like, that's the kind of stuff you can't explain over the telephone, you know, without seeing them.
I just put the comment up from a Facebook user for those listening to this, where, you know, essentially a technician will try to lead tech support person in a direction they think it is. They kind of lead them that way versus someone being able to ask the questions that are just more open-ended and make them actually think through the problem, then don't lead them in a particular direction. So that was a great point by whoever posted that.
And you know, our techs, and you know, Logan, you know, having been trained with them as well, can tell you, we go through like a systematic approach where we, you know, make sure that doesn't happen. Like if you're on live tech support, because that guy is totally right. Like that's a normal, you know, normal human trait, right? To go the direction you think it is versus open, you stepping back and getting the full lay of the land. But you know, a good tech support guy will be able to reset you, you know, bring you down, reset you, get you a perspective that can take it all in and then dive in. But that's a huge point, because you can definitely go, you know, south without knowing you're going south.
Yep. And that only comes from experience. I mean, the experience of actually being in the field in the same exact position where that technician's at.
Amen to that.
So I got a question for you guys on the Blue On for Business, because obviously you guys got the technician side, which is, you know, ordering parts, sourcing parts, all that thing that has kind of been the core business the last couple of years until you guys made a push for Blue On for Business, which is the data analysis, understanding where your techs are at and stuff like that. Can you guys dive into a little bit more about what that looks like for a business owner? I mean, we talked a little bit about like how that helps, but what else can it do for them?
Yeah, I mean, think about Blue On for Business is taking everything we've learned over the last 4 or 5 years on how to make techs more efficient and how data can make a contractor more efficient, and then put it into one platform that effectively is contractor centric. And make sure all of your techs are on the app. It gives them unlimited access to all of the, you know, the tools, the AI, access tech support, unlimited access to the data. It gives all that information that's happening in that ecosystem available to that contractor. But really what it comes down to is three key places that we're giving contractors back time. And that's the whole point of the platform, is to create this time that's going to be, you know, you can use for more billable hours. And it's three things. It's, you know, giving that tech the information they need on the unit when they need it. That's information that's, you know, that's the same thing that guys have been using the app for a long time, plus all the new tools we have to dive into incremental data when you need it on that unit. Because instead of searching for it, Googling for it, looking for it, asking somebody, it's just there when you need it, exactly when you need it. Then it's the support. Guy needs help. So that's what we talked about before. That's the AI, or that's live tech support when you need it specifically, you know, answers in minutes, not half hour or hours or 2 hours. Killing that time and keeping it to one person, not two. And then the third one is to remove the dependency on distributors in your your day-to-day activities of finding, you know, replacement parts. So right now, as you guys know, most folks are largely dependent on a distributor to do that research for them to identify a compatible replacement part and then either buy it from them or, you know, if they don't have it, go somewhere else. But you're sort of stuck in the path they put you on, as opposed to being able to just look up the model, look up the bill of materials, find the part, find the 72 replacement options, and go get the one you want, you know, at the distributor you want to get it at the price right. You get it at. So giving all that power back, or never the first time, to the contractor is really what it's all about. So when you do that all together, you know, it's pretty hard not to save a half a dozen hours per week per tech. And then it all ties back to a single platform where the contractor can see what's going on. They can see what the techs are doing. They can see what training is needed, and they can sort of assess it. And then all of that, eventually that data I mentioned where you search out for that part and that replacement part, you'll be able to just click on a button and buy that part from your local distributor or your, you know, online or national distributor of your choice. So that's the platform, but it's really taking all of everything we've learned and giving it to the contractor so they can not only see the benefits, they can reap the benefits. You know, you always see all this, you know, data being measured on, you know, what's my technician billable efficiency and what's this KPI? Well, it's great to measure it, but what are you going to do about it? Right. And so we're about, yeah, you can measure it. Maybe you're 35%, maybe you're 40%. But we're here to say, okay, well, now I can bring it to 50% with these tools and then watch how, what that does to your bottom line. Cause it's like magic, right? Cause you're removing costs and you're adding payment, you know, in the same breath. It's a, you know, anybody that's done that analysis can see how quickly it adds up. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to add to that is, being that we have a remote business and remote office staff, there tends to be a challenge when it comes time to order parts, like making sure we're on the same page communication wise, and to the point to where we've mistakenly ordered the wrong parts because the interpretation on what was written down on the invoice, and the technician needed to leave that job and head to the next job and, like, you know, be a revenue generator. And so then we have people in the office, they're searching for these parts and they're like confused because they don't, like, I don't know this and that and the other, and they're relying
on, I've been that person, and I don't know what I'm looking for, and I have to keep calling the tech and be like, is this it? Is this
right.
it?
Yep.
The ability to
waste everybody's time.
Yeah, right. And just having the search, being able to just put the model number in.
Yep.
All right, these are the parts that are inside this air handler. All right, there's six different replacements, you know, options for that variable speed blower motor, and here's the part numbers. So get to searching if you want to do it that way. Like it takes a lot of stress off of the office side from the uncertainty of making mistakes that they're going to order the wrong part and then piss off a technician because, okay, hey, your part's at the supply house or your part's been, you know, here at the shop, and they get there, drive all the way across town to get it. It's the wrong one. And they're slinging parts across the shop and punching holes in doors and kicking glass and stuff.
That's just you, Terry.
Yeah. No, but you're spot on. I mean, because think about it, the tech's in the field, they're on the model. They've got it typed into the app. With one click, now the home office knows that model. They know the BOM. They know the parts. They can look at the replacement parts. There's no communication breakdown because the information is connected.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing that we're having this conversation today, that data hasn't been in the hands of contractors. It always kind of blows my brain because, I mean, it's like people always say, well, how come e-commerce hasn't taken off in HVAC and replacement parts? And I always say, because if the buyer needs to talk to the seller to find out what they want to buy, you can't have e-commerce, right? Bottom line, because the buyer needs to know what the hell they want to buy at the moment of purchase. And so that's, you know, what we're doing. We're taking all this knowledge, you know, and giving it to the contractor. And by the way, the search tool that you're playing around with Turish and others actually is dramatically better than any data any distributor has, including Johnstone, including Watsco, including you name it. This data is, you know, 5-10x better. So you get the lay of the land, right? You can take control. You choose what you want to buy. You drive the ship. You don't have to. And I also find it weird that contractors who value time so immensely end up depending on distributors who don't, right? Because I mean, they're built differently, right? Their KPIs are different. Their value of time is small. The value of time for you guys is huge, but yet you're depending on them to fill a gap that is time dependent. So it takes that control back, gives that time back to you guys, and really makes a huge, huge efficiency benefit.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
I got a question. So I was thinking about this going, and sorry, I'm jumping to going back to the master mechanic, because a lot of people might start the conversation there, right? Because they might think it's something simple, or they start that conversation. What do you guys have built in? So like, where that would transfer over to a live rep, like this is getting too complex and it needs to go to a live rep. Because I know sometimes you have to, it's not AI where it's like a human brain yet. You just kind of have to put some rules in place on the back end to be like, okay, at this point, this needs to stop.
Sometimes what Josh is trying to say is he gets into these conversations with these chat bots and they're like, nah, man, you don't need to be touching anything. Like, you got to call tech support.
That's great.
So the good way to put that, I mean, would be, you know, if you're a technician and you're in the master mechanic and you're asking your questions, if you're not getting the results that you need and you think you need to talk to that live support, then I would say at that point, we tell everybody, especially the contractors, if it's going to be more than 10 minutes, go ahead and use that tech support call. Let's go ahead and call them. Let's get right to business and try to get that time back to you. Because, I mean, the more you sit there and spin your wheels, I mean, that's all time.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, but I think what you're pointing out, Josh, we haven't done it yet. We will put a way to transition directly from that. So maybe registering, there's been three or four questions and then pop up, hey, you want to talk to a rep? That's in the works, but it's currently not live. But it's really
sure, even just an option where they can like click on a button and it connects them to the live rep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, my vote for that is to say, after about four questions, say, all right, Josh, you're dumb. Here, click this button and call.
And the tech comes up. Yeah.
No, at that point, you need to use the tech that's cursing.
Yeah, that's right.
You're fucking dumb.
Yeah, what the hell?
Stop asking me questions.
We have one of our tech support guys who will remain nameless. We always have to tell him not to say certain things, but he has a habit of saying, it's just common sense. Don't you see it? I'm like, dude, you can't say that. You know, back off.
That's after he talks him down.
That would be awesome, actually.
So, well, it was all like that. I mean, I think the old version is still available. I'll dig it up and send it to you guys to play with this. It's hysterical. You can ask it a political question too, and it will give you some.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Just have to put some disclaimers and maybe get our
major disclaimers on there.
Something on the bottom. Is not advice. This is not.
Well, you know. One thing I wanted to jump in there on that transition is, you know, as we're building Blue Umber Business, we call it B4B internally. You know, we want to make the use of tech support valuable, right? Because when you're talking to one of our guys, it's costing us $30 a call. That's what it costs us, right? And so we're charging folks that. Now, we're not making money on it, but we're charging them, like, and it's per issue. So when you use a tech support call, it's until it's resolved. So that might take three calls, one call, five calls, whatever it takes. You're paying for the resolution, not for the call. So that's number one. But to Logan's point, we want to make, if you're going to spend 10 or 20 minutes, that $30 is a joke compared to what you just spent on the time to solve the issue. So we want trying to train our customers to understand that difference. So you do, if it's going to be a long one, just dive into tech support, get someone on the horn, figure it out, burn that call, because it's going to pay off, you know, 5x in terms of dividends downstream. But there is a unlimited use of AI. It doesn't cost, once you're a member, you know, that's, you know, free, go nuts. But in terms of accessing a human, there's a cost to that, because we, you know, we have to break even on those calls.
I remember years ago, I think it was you talking to Brian Orr on his podcast, and I'm pretty sure it was you. I remember y'all talking about the fact that you just call in and we give tech support to anybody, you know, especially if you're buying refrigerant or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, how is that sustainable? Like,
yeah,
that doesn't make sense to me at all. Like, I'm gonna cash in on this one.
Yeah. What happened though, you know, I think our whatever word you want to fill in the blank there, our approach there, which you know, was perhaps a little aggressive, ended up forming the basis of the AI. Because if we didn't have 100,000 calls, you couldn't build the AI. You needed.
So what you're saying is you had a magic ball and you could see the future.
Nope.
So which stock is it that I need to be buying?
Yeah, it's better be lucky than smart. And so in this case, yeah, it's so funny because we talk about this general problem of how do you get the wisdom out of, I mentioned before, get the wisdom out of these guys. We talk about it all the time. And it just happened, right? So because we recorded it all, it sort of just all fell into place. But we would never have gotten that that background information if we didn't have it open. We were doing 500, 600, 700 calls a day, you know, for years. And so all that adds up to that information. So now we can use it and broadcast. It was more like a R&D exercise than anything else. But now we're charging break even. So we're not making money on it, but we're making sure we can continue to supply that service to the folks in the field.
Talk about the ultimate giver's gain.
Yeah.
Like you gave and gave and gave for years to gather enough information. Like, kudos.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, luckily, like I said, lucky can trump smartness on occasion. We'll take it.
You have to have the foresight though, right? This is where data, if we get into like a bigger topic real quick, data and collecting it is so important. Because it can be used in so many different ways. That's what we're finding with like Rilla Voice and some of these other AI tools is they've collected and listened to so many calls and sales calls and stuff like that, where it's just, that's where it continues to improve. And now that's, I feel like more people think about it now, like maybe I should be recording this, CSR calls. Think about how many of those are in someone's CRM or in CallRail or whatever system they have it in. They're all sitting there doing nothing.
Yep.
Uploading them somewhere where we can actually learn from it now and get some benefit back. And there's so many different things like that. We were talking before we got on here about like a lot of times like Tersh, when he started his business, he was the master mechanic of Service Emperor Icebound, and he had all the knowledge and he had people, I think what was it, what the one day, like 100 calls or 103 calls.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. It was TriStar, and it was 135 TriStar calls in one day.
Whoa.
Yeah, and that was the day.
That was a good day.
Tersh is like, man, if I could go back in time.
Yeah.
It's crazy because that's the day that I learned to say no and hang up on technicians. And they had to come to me with three possible solutions every time. If they didn't come to me with three possible solutions, even if they were wrong, terrible solutions, hung up on them instantly.
Yeah, Tersh. Tersh, can I ask you a question?
And then that's when you just started saying call Blue on.
Yeah.
Tersh, I'm not a technician. You hang up on me all the time.
It's different reasons.
Still need three, Josh.
What it is like iPhones did their update. And so now like it's, your picture comes up and I'm like, oh shit, I dropped the phone and it just deletes it. I mean, it hangs up.
Yeah, it's easier. Yeah. Easier. So you're right. I mean, it's recording data, right? I mean, that's what Blue On has really become, because we touch so much data, right? So we have distributors using search to find out, you know, what part connects to what part. We have text looking at units. We have, you know, contractors looking at search. We have all this data that shows a picture that maybe isn't obvious. As you were talking on stage, we're talking about, you know, we recently looked at the age of the equipment being looked at, you know, in terms of the both sides, the app and the distributor side. And it will shock you because it's much older than you think, you know, and it's not, what's interesting about it, it's not like a curve that you would think that's kind of like, you know, new to old. It's kind of like a hump in the middle. Like the stuff, I almost think the stuff that was built in the early 2000s lasted longer because there's more of it out there than there is 2010 stuff, which is bizarre, right? Because it doesn't make much sense. But point being is the majority of stuff being looked at is 10 plus years old, not 5 plus years old. Which is, you know, it's not necessarily obvious if you were to ask somebody that didn't have that data.
I could tell you the reason why. I mean, this is not scientific. This is just tertiary. You know, this is definitely.
What was that word again?
It's definitely because of the coils going from aluminum to copper to aluminum, the thin coils to microchannels and all that nonsense, and taking a Carrier 12 inch wide air handler and have to put a train 37,000 inch wide air handler back in the same closet. That's why.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's what our guys say every time. If they go through the coil and the micro channels is always an answer. But yeah, the point being is that stuff's going to stay out there because now with the with all the, you know, with the cost of new equipment going up, with all the rules, the regs, you know, people are going to be repairing that stuff for another 10 years just because, you know, replacing stuff is becoming unbelievably difficult. I'm sure you guys have talked to distributors and know their, like, their, the number of boxes they shipped in 23 was way down from the number of boxes they shipped in, in 22. And some numbers all like broke my brain. I heard, I'm not going to disclose them, but they were big, like, you know, not 10%, like much, much, much bigger.
Like 75%?
Like 30, 40%. Yeah. So that's, those are unheard of numbers, right? That's like a, cataclysmic number. You can't even, like, guess that, you know, if you'd ever tried to.
That really can't hurt. I mean, that can shut places down.
Yeah. Those guys that lost 30% plus or whatever of their unit boxes, they made up for in other stuff. Maybe they're down 15%, you know, revenue wise.
Yeah.
But they're on the units themselves, it was an absolute, you know, but I think that's going to continue. You know, my instinct and my data shows that we're going to see a similar trend, you know, for the next couple of years, just because of all the challenges surrounding new equipment, you know, whether it be CR2, A2L, got to replace both sides, just all these issues compound. And then, of course, you know, financing, getting...
Getting into the economics of the where we're at either. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
I mean, I think financing, one last point there, I think financing got, you know, they, in late 22, it was like a 5 to 10% rejection rate for homeowners to get financing. And now it's like 35%, right? So the people are getting just rejected, right? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then businesses are HVAC companies being able to offer financing. I was talking to a couple of finance companies and they were like, oh yeah, we don't even take companies that do less than 5 million in revenue. Like, you're starting up your HVAC company and you need to offer financing to compete with the big guys. You can't offer it because nobody will let you do it. Like, you have to have at least this much finance per year.
How do you get,
financing? Cause you can't, it's like, you gotta have 20 years experience, but you can't do that if you can't get any experience.
Yeah.
Peter is, Pete, is in our Facebook group. That's why it won't show up his question or his name.
Is that just says Facebook?
He asked, do you have a sense of the adoption percentage in the industry, technicians and distributors?
From a Blue On perspective?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have 170,000 members on the app. That's about little over 50% of techs have become a member. We've got like 500,000 downloads. These are members. These are people that have been interviewed, given their, you know, their information relative to who they are, who they work
for. Got them a hat.
Yeah, got their hat. That kind of stuff. We're giving it a lot of hats. Well, that's the text. So that's like the core issue. Then we got about 2,500 branches of distributors using the tool, the search tool, and other aspects of the platform. And right now we're trying to ramp up our contractor adoption as the company, as opposed to the tech, wrapping it all together. That's kind of our mission moving forward, is to put this all together in a single subscription platform that's, you know, extremely affordable and in most cases reimbursable if you got co-op funds available. Also, we're working with a lot of the OEMs and the dealers to get this reimbursed, pre-approved, so we can actually just get in some cases direct pay, so we can work with you on that. But yeah, ultimately the adoption is like half techs, about 40% of distributors. And then on the contractor side, we got 23,000 contractors in the system. So that's about 40%-ish of the market. But they're not all paying customers. That we're trying to convert those guys, you know, over and giving them a broader service offering.
Yeah, we need to convert all of them over to paying. We gotta convert to pays. Yeah.
That's right. And I think that, you know, we're pricing it extremely affordably. So it's going to be, you know, not a difficult pill to swallow. And then if you're not, like I say in the video we just filmed, if you're not making 25 times that at least in payoff, then you're doing something wrong and I'm doing something wrong in terms of the value prop.
You know, I had a massively proud pop-up moment talking to a couple of technicians. It's been a while back. It's been a long time now since I had this conversation, but I was like, hey, y'all should check out this really cool app called Blue On. And you're like, oh yeah, you mean this app, the one that we use every single day? Like, okay, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, if you look at, you know, the reason why the app is so, I think, loved or liked is that the techs chose to use it, right? It wasn't pushed on them, from a third party, right? It was their choice. They downloaded it. They became a member. It was their doing, right? So that's a very unique platform where the techs actually choose to use it. They like to use it. You know, we got to develop it. You know, when you develop an app for techs, you got to develop it for the, you know, my age guys, 55-year-old guys and 20-year-old guys. So that's tough, right? Because the technology gap is pretty big. So you have to make some interesting choices to make the technology user-friendly and intuitive to both of those people, right? Which are very different in how they view how to use an app. But I think we've done a good job of that and focused on that, which is why techs actually like to use it. It's super easy and intuitive.
Yeah. Well, I would, so, and Logan, I don't know if you remember this. You were at the table with Cassie Pound, one of these events, yep. and she had no idea what the hell Blue On was. And I think some business owners have no idea.
Yeah.
And she asked her team if anyone knew what Blue On was. And then she gets these replies. This is like a Friday night. I don't know. It was a night. And then all of her team's like, yeah. Like literally almost her entire team used Blue On. She had no idea.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of our fun tests that we get to do with contractors. So that's where the adoption rate's at. And that's how easy it is for the ownership or the service managers to reintroduce it back to their team. That's what we ask. We asked, jump on a text thread with your technicians and ask them who knows about Blue On or uses it. And the vast majority are going to ping right back. Yeah. Cassie's stance there, it was like less than a minute. There were people already chiming in saying, yeah, we use it every day.
And I think if you haven't asked that question or you don't know, it'd be a wise thing. It's a little takeaway for you to ask, find out.
We do.
Especially with some of the adoption coming in there's, it's amazing to me the amount of people that are starting or are taking over HVAC plumbing businesses that have never run one before because a lot of money has come into this space. They have no idea that this technology is available. So if you don't know what this is, I would ask. Just ask your team. Ask someone on your team and find out if they're using it, because this may open you up to new doors where you could look at the Blue On for business side and other opportunities here to grow your business.
No, you're spot on. That's exactly right. So we're actually working on a whole program to empower, you know, our members, help us, you know, bring it into the business and you know, give them credit for that too. In a way, we've got a cool system that we can do that with. But yeah, totally agree. That's kind of the first question we ask in every presentation is, you know, because you're right. I'd say about a third of contractors, you know, have heard of Blue On, a third are like kind of gray on it, and the third are like, I don't know, who the hell are you? So there's a, you know, and then that question leads to an immediate feedback, but it actually works to our favor because if they knew it too well, then I'm pitching them something they already know too well. So it actually benefits us in that, hey, we do this, this, and this, like, oh man, my guys need to be using this all the time. Cause now they're using it a little bit of time, but if they put it into a protocol, they actually will gain much more efficiency, which is what we're trying to do with B4B is like programmatically change how guys just get them more into that habit of using all these tools on the regular, which will, you know, just will bank time on a weekly basis.
How are you finding that people are putting this into a process inside of their business?
Yeah, I mean, I think the cool thing about it is that it's really easy, right? It doesn't require a weeks of onboarding and a ton of, because of the fact that most of their techs already have it in their pocket. Mm-hmm. We do this linking mechanism, which links it to the parent source into the B4B account. So now it's all connected. Everybody has full unlimited access. Then the data is flowing directly up to that individual. So the techs only need a little bit of training because most of them have used it, but we can train those that haven't used it. Takes us about 30 minutes or less. You've used search. That's not a difficult tool to use. You can show someone how to use that in a matter of minutes.
If you can use Amazon, you can use it.
Yeah. I mean, it's all been made to be unbelievably simple. There's no IT integration required. There's no backend integration. So the onboarding is super simple. It's really about, and we have nurture flows that let us help the techs become proficient over time. So once we have their numbers, the system does the rest, right? It takes care of it. It's going to train them. It's going to walk them through it. It's going to measure them so you can know who's doing, who's not doing it. So the system is meant to be extremely easy to get going on. And that's, to be honest, that's one of our biggest challenges is making people believe that, because people have been going through other onboarding and they have, you know, scars, whether it's going into a, you know, a Service Titan onboarding or a, you name the FSM, people are like, oh, you know, I don't want to, no onboarding. So we're trying to be very clear about, though, the onboarding is literally a day, right? Give me the phone numbers. We'll train your guys on this, this, and that. And then the system will train them further based upon their usage. And we have enough street cred with the techs for that feedback to work, because they're not looking at us as some outsider. They already have a sense of familiarity and trust with us, which I think is the key.
What is, so with this technology, and obviously in the regular workflow of a service call, I can see some integration scenarios that might fit. Do you guys have things that you can share, or anything that, like, what's the future look for that?
Yeah. So we have integration with Sarah right now, and working on further integration. So, you know, Billy's shop. So that means that the individual in that workflow, when they normally would type in the model number, which they do anyways, now they're using a BlueOn search function to make sure they get the right one. And then it locks it in the system, and then they have access to the data directly through that integration, which is super cool. So now they have the ability to be in the middle of their workflow with the BlueOn advantage, so to speak, and then also have the ability to directly access support from that same integration. The future of that integration goes where, as they sell good, better, best, the model data and the what particular quote was received indicate what has to be bought, and then that happens automatically as a result. And so it's simply process just happens, right? So I need this, this, and this, boom, it's just done, right? And then the POs are produced, and the parts are procured, you know, and then ultimately that becomes a circle for inventory, right? So if you're doing it all the time,
that'll keep your inventory costs down, because it's like, well, I don't need to keep six of these on hand if I know it's going to get ordered every single time this thing gets.
That's right. That's right. And what else we can do, and I just recently found this out maybe 6 to 9 months ago, that most, and you guys can attest to this better than I can, most contractors depend or look to their distributor if they're doing consignment, or if they're doing, you know, if they're stocking their truck stock for them. They look to what I should stock to the distributor to figure out, like, what should I have in my truck, which I find crazy, because, you know, the data we have, we can tell you exactly what to stock to minimize the number of visits required to a supply house based upon the equipment you're servicing and what you should be holding for the maximum compatibility of that stuff in your truck stock. That's data we can show you as part of B4B. You know, take that control back and figure out what you should hold personally for the business you have to maximize your truck's versatility and minimize your trips to the supply house. So yeah, all these integrations are underway. I think integrating with FSMs are certainly the future, because it provides such an easier workflow. You know, because right now FSMs are mainly about scheduling and measuring a client interaction in the job, not providing incremental benefit to making that tech more efficient, other than making the schedule really efficient. But they don't provide, like, support or answering questions or data that's needed on the spot. All that's elsewhere. So trying to bring those two things together, so you're in one workflow and everything's showing up when you need it based on what part of the process you're in.
So we had a couple of questions come in. I don't know if this is from Pete as well or something.
It is, yeah. It's from
his take on this. So you're talking about the integration with BlueOn and Sarah is what he was talking about. So it's not a Zapier-ish automator as well.
No.
And this is he did ask.
It's a direct integration.
Yes.
So you don't have to use webhooks and all this other jazz.
It's a direct integration. It's
literally, you click a button.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all done through, it's called deep linking within app to app, which really just provides a way for either data or transfers. So they can just hop over to the BlueOn app or hop the data back. We're in phase one now. We have three phases planned with them to further the integration, as I mentioned, down the stream. But That's the holy grail, right? And then all of it ends up, the end of that line is real-time price book, right? So now I've got a price book that reflects the current pricing in reality. I don't have to worry about it. It's all taken care of because the data is flowing. I don't have to.
Yeah. So you don't sell a PSC motor where you actually need a variable speed motor, and then you done charge somebody $300 for something that cost me $900.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, no, big time.
I haven't experienced that personally or at all in the past 6 months or anything.
Or the amount of time that's being spent going through all your pricing structures with your your relationships, and then having to update this on a ever changing time frame.
It's a super like, time consuming task.
I used to be in charge of the price book at the last company I worked
at. It used to be every year you did it, and then it became like now it's every time every time you get a new invoice, you got to make sure your prices are still the same.
Like, yeah,
prices. Right. Prices have changed 5 times since we've been on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really something that we'll have that ability, you know, relatively soon with who we're integrating with. So that's a powerful tool, right? Because
because then you can make sure you keep your margin throughout busy. You can almost where you start getting into. I was thinking about Uber because, like you say, price changed 5 times. I'm like, well, shit, Uber, Lyft, all those services, they like literally change just depending on demand.
Yeah,
you could easily toggle something on demand basis as well for margin pricing and stuff like that as well.
Well, that's you know, not to take that's Billy's got that idea they're working on at Sarah is like price surging, right? And then you can use the real time price book to effectuate that. You know, give me a 70% more, give me a 60%, whatever you want to do for that surge, just bakes in with the data. So yeah, that's where it's all going. Is you know, it's all look, it's all data, it's all support. That's what I always come down to. It's two things: it's support and data when you need it. That's it. Like everything else kind of is a derivative of that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel awesome.
So Pete, where do people go if they want to go ahead?
First, I won't interrupt you. I swear I won't interrupt you. Go ahead.
He's playing crickets.
We appreciate y'all hanging out with us for real. Let me mute Josh. Where do people go to learn more, get connected with you and sign up for the business? Blue On for Business.
Just go to blueon.com, click on contractors, and then there's a little bit of information there. There'll be a video posted hopefully by tomorrow that walks you through it all. And then there's a self-service check-in where you can actually sign up right there, or you can schedule a presentation and when the sales guys will give you a 20-minute presentation on it.
Or you can come to Chicago to HR Expo.
Yes, you can.
And sign up at the booth.
No, that's right. Good point. And, yeah.
And you can listen to our breakout because part of our breakout is going to have Blue On in there. We're going to be talking about the disruption of AI in the trades at HR. So you can learn there as well.
Awesome. Yeah, and HR, we'll be doing some, you know, some specials too, like getting extra a couple months free. So just, yeah, come on down to the booth and we'll set you up. But yeah, all of the above. But Blue On is an easy website. You know, you can't spell Blue On.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Don't use the AI because he's going to send you
it's just
to
common sense.
Cool guys. We appreciate you hanging out with us and everybody that's hanging out. Pete, we appreciate everybody hanging out to the end. If you do have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to any of us. We're more than willing to help in any way. Obviously. This is what we love doing. We love talking and learning and communicating with people like Logan and Pete. Until we talk again next time, I hope y'all have a wonderful and safe week. And thank you again, guys, for hanging out with us.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.